This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2022, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders Educational Programs on March 24 and 25, 2022, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Thank you, Aaron, for that introduction, and good morning to everybody. You know, you always have a mental image of what your presentation is going to be like. And this is a little different than what I was, my mental image was. So hopefully I can adjust my expectation to the reality. And this is a big room, and I was somehow expecting a little bit more of a smaller group in a more intimate setting. But anyway, it's going to be okay as long as you promise to do one thing, and that is participate. Because I planned this to be a real workshop where people are participating and giving me some feedback. So it's not going to work out very well if nobody talks. Now, just to give you an idea, I'm planning here at the beginning to do a fair amount of talking myself. But then the worksheet that you've been given, hopefully everyone has one by now. If you don't, maybe you can let the ushers know. That worksheet is designed for you to put things about you. So nobody else can fill that out except you personally. So in a little bit, I'm going to have you work on that, and we're going to be needing some feedback, some input from you all. So I'm going to go ahead and just begin by talking briefly about a story that I think most of you know. And that is a story that comes from Matthew 25. It's a story that Jesus told. It's a story about a wealthy man who took a trip. And before he went on his trip, he had some wealth that he didn't know what to do with, or he thought, I'm going to see what my servants do with this. So he distributed that wealth, and he gave it to three of his servants. It would be very interesting to know how he decided how much to give to each one and what made him distribute it the way he did. We don't know that exactly. But what we do know is that he gave 5 talents to one of them, 2 talents to another one, and 1 talent to a third one. Now, talents here refers to money. And I tried to do a little research to see exactly how much money would this be. Well, it doesn't say. A talent was a unit of measure, and even exactly what the unit of measure is equal to is maybe not completely clear, but something I read was that it's close to maybe 33 kilograms, which is a pretty heavy piece of metal when we're talking about metal. But whether it was silver or gold, I'm not 100% sure. But let's assume that it was gold, and let's assume that today's current price is approximately of gold. I just did the math. The guy who got just one talent would have had the equivalent of about $2 million in today's money. And the one who received 2 talents, $4 million. The one who received 5 talents, over $10 million. So we're talking about a substantial amount of assets. Well, as you know the story, the one who received 5 and the one who received 2, they invested that money. They maybe started businesses. We don't know exactly what they did, but they were trading, using the money. And at the end, they were able to double what they'd been given. The servant who'd received just 1 talent, however, went and hid it in the ground. And then when this wealthy man, this master, returned, he called the servants together, and everybody had to report to him. What did we do? What did you do with the money that I gave you? And so the one who received 5 and the one who received 2, they were really happy because they had good news for him. But the one who received 1 was not as happy. He said, I was afraid. I went and hid it in the ground. It seems like he was so paralyzed by fear that something would happen to the talent that he was like, I don't want to take any risk. I don't want to make it less than it is. So maybe the safest thing is to just put it down in the ground. The master was not pleased with him. And I feel to say this, but when the first 2 had done their reporting, what did he call them? Do you all know, as you know the story, what did he call anybody? What did the master say to those first 2 servants? Good. He called them good and faithful servants. But this servant, the one who buried his talent, instead was called a wicked and lazy servant. He said the least you could have done was to take that talent, put it in the bank, and it would have gotten some interest money. Might not have been a lot, especially at today's rates, but you could have gotten some interest money. So he commanded then that money be taken from the man who it had been given to and given to the man who had 10 talents. Well, there are possibly several ways to interpret the parable and quite a few things that we could actually learn from it. But it seems clear here that God is the master and we are the servants as we interpret the meaning of this parable. And it's fascinating to me how the English language actually kind of does us a favor here in interpreting the parable, in that it uses two meanings of the word talents, one for the literal meaning of the parable and one for the figurative meaning of the parable. So the word talent, as I mentioned earlier, was an ancient unit of money or weight, and it was equivalent to maybe 33 kilograms. The way we commonly use the word talent, though, is an innate ability or an aptitude or a gift that God has given to you or that God has given us. And so as we think about as we think about that second meaning of the word talent, we're actually arriving at a really good interpretation of the parable. The talents that are in the story that the master gave to his servants actually represent what God the Father has given to us from the moment we're born, or even before we were born, the natural aptitudes and tendencies and gifts that we have been given. But then, like the servants in the story, we have to ask ourselves, what are we going to do with those talents that God has given to us? There's another thing that the master in this story gave to his servants, besides just giving them money. Does anybody want to tell me what else he gave them? It's maybe a bit of a trick question, but anybody want to guess what I'm thinking of? Time, thank you. The master gave his servants the gift of time. He didn't just expect them to increase the value of the money immediately. He didn't just like give it to them and say, hey, let's go forward. No, instead, he gave them time to see how they would handle the money that he'd given them. And in the very same way, our Father God has given us the gift of time. He gives us talents from the moment we're born, and then he gives us all of our lifetime until the day that we die to use those talents, to invest them. And he's waiting to see what we're going to do with them. And so the question becomes really very personal and really unique to every individual. How will I use my talents? And when the master looks at me, will he call me good and faithful, or will he call me wicked and lazy? The purpose of this workshop today is just to encourage all of us to take the talents that we've been given by God our Father and develop them for use in the kingdom of God. And I believe we do that by making wise use of the second gift, the gift of time that we've been given, the short window that we have between birth and death. And to elaborate on this a little bit more, I guess my burden is this. It feels like, I'm sure it's always been this way, but it feels like especially today in our technological age, it is possible to be distracted so easily. We have so many things and so many gadgets and so much that can be done with just this little thing that most of us have that we can just spend all of our time playing games or texting back and forth or just entertaining ourselves, doing things that aren't bad. I'm not talking about doing bad things, but just doing things that are keeping us from developing the talents that God has given us. And I'll just give you a personal illustration of this. When I first moved to the Middle East in 2008, I was still single, and one of my first tasks was to learn Arabic. And so I had quite a bit of time. The work there was just getting started, so it wasn't like I had a lot of responsibilities. As I said, I was single, I didn't have a family. But the language is hard, and I wasn't sure how long I was going to stay there, and I thought, can I really learn this language? I'm not sure if I can even do this, and maybe I won't even stay here that long, so is it really that necessary? So I studied, I tried to apply myself somewhat, I tried to learn, but I didn't study with the intensity that I should have. And part of the reason is because something else happened that same year, and that is that some friends introduced me to something called Facebook. That you've probably heard of before. And back in 2008, it was a little bit of a novel thing. I mean, some people had it, but it wasn't just as much as common as it what became later on. And I was amazed. It was like, wow, here I am on the other side of the world, and I can still keep track of what people are doing at home. I can know exactly what they're doing. I can, even keep track of people I'd lost touch with, from way back before. And that's really amazing. So what I found myself doing was spending a bunch of time in front of this computer screen figuring out who had what for supper and how cute people's new babies were when I should have been studying Arabic. And it was only later that I really realized that that was a mistake. I had wasted too much time. And then I did stay there longer. And in the 2 years that I was there, at that time, I did start buckling down and trying to study Arabic more. Like Aaron said, we're in the Middle East now for about 4 years since I've been married. And I'm still trying to learn the language, you know, improve in it. And now it's so much harder. I have four little children and I have a lot of responsibilities. And I don't have the time like I used to have. Why didn't I invest harder and spend more time on it when I could have? So that's just an example. Don't be like me. That's a negative example of how you can spend your time wisely. The time that God has given us. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture is Matthew 6:33. But seek first. Let's look at the word first. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I don't know about you, but for me, the kingdom of God is a really exciting reality. I've spent a fair amount of time either living in or visiting countries where there's a lot of conflict. Some of that is conflict between people groups, maybe within the country, or conflicts between neighboring countries. And living with conflict is not fun. And I don't think God intends for people to live in that kind of conflict. And the thing that is so exciting to me about the kingdom of God is that it just transcends all of the boundaries and the borders that people want to put in place. Borders of color and ethnicity and religious background and male or female, all of these things in the kingdom of God are wiped away, and we are put on a level playing field before God. When people pledge their lives and their allegiance to God, they can find a belonging in the worldwide kingdom of God. And that's a beautiful thought. And in this verse, Matthew 6:33, the admonition that Jesus is giving us is that we're to seek first this kingdom. And I'll just talk a little bit about what I believe that means. We're to pursue the welfare of the kingdom of God. The thing that should be first priority in our lives is, how can I advance the kingdom of God? How can I give the time and the talents that I have, whatever I have, as meager and as feeble as it may be, how can I use that to improve, advance, to grow the kingdom of God? That is the calling I believe God has given us. And it's actually a really exciting thing when we can get a hold of that vision. And just one thing that you might want to practice as you think about this, it's something that I started doing a number of years ago. I'm not sure if somebody else suggested to me. I don't even know who it was. But it's what I'm going to call the 6:33 reminder. The reference here is Matthew 6:33. And all it is whenever you see the number 6 followed by 33, you just stop and say, how am I doing at seeking the kingdom of God right now? How am I doing at using what I've been given to advance the kingdom of God? And you might think, well, that's silly. When will I ever see those numbers together? But once you put it in your head, it's amazing how many times you look at the alarm clock, 6:33. You're sitting in church, the song leader says the song number, 6:33. You're driving down the road, the highway sign, 6:33. And it's just a little reminder for you, how am I doing at seeking first the kingdom of God? Something you might want to keep in mind. Well, maybe you're listening to this, what I've said so far, and you're thinking, well, that sounds good, but I don't think I have any talents. You know, my friends are all talented in certain areas. They can do a lot of things. I don't really feel like I have any talents. Or if I do have talents, they're not really things that can be used in the kingdom of God. I mean, standing on my head or yodeling or something like that, like, how can that really be of use in the kingdom of God? You might have heard about people like Mozart. They say he was playing songs on the harpsichord at the age of 4 years old. And by the age of 5, he was already composing simple songs. So you say, I'm not talented like that. Or maybe there was a young boy named Edmund Thomas Clint, a boy from India. He only lived to be 6 years and 11 months old. He died before he was 7 years old. Yet in his lifetime, he painted over 25,000 paintings, of which this is one of them. Tremendous talent. We call people like this child prodigies sometimes. Most of us aren't like that. And in a world where natural talent is really celebrated, it's easy to feel like we've been maybe left behind. We're the ones that got missed when God was giving out the talent. Or maybe we're the one that just got the one talent. The other thing is that unfortunately our society tends to celebrate some talents more than others. Things like acting or speaking or playing sports often thrust people into the limelight. And we ignore the fact there are other talents that are just as necessary, maybe more necessary, that are not as public. Things like just coordinating logistics. I mean, imagine Reach without people who can do logistic work behind the scenes. It's amazing. People who do counseling, encouragement, things like that. These talents are maybe behind the scenes a little more. But for those of us who wonder if we have any talents or feel like we aren't sure what our talents are, which I know that feeling, sometimes you just wonder, well, what is my talent? What does God really want me to do? I think it's helpful for us to look a little bit at some different types of talents. So I'd like to consider now two different ways that people categorize talents. And so the first one is what we'll call a three-way categorization: gifts of the head, gifts of the heart, and gifts of the hands. Now, ignore the percentages on this PowerPoint. I needed somebody with PowerPoint talent to help me figure out to take off those 33 and 34%, because they're supposed to be equal. There's not supposed to be one that says 34%, but I didn't know how to do that. So anyway, of the heart, of the hands, of the head. Gifts of the heart, according to this theory, are things that you know about or you're naturally curious about, knowledge that you have that you enjoy sharing with others. And all of us, of course, even within these groupings, of course, there's tremendous variety, because some of you have all kinds of knowledge about diesel mechanics or something like that that I know absolutely zero about. And other people know, yeah, you just, all of you are have talents that are specific to you, knowledge that you have. There's also talents of the heart. These are things that you care about deeply and are passionate about. It might include compassion and sympathy for others, things like that. And then there's gifts of the hands, which are practical skills that you have, things that you enjoy doing that involve maybe action, movement. It's actually physical activity. And I'm going to say the exercise that we have here today is based on this way of categorizing talents. But then there is also another... Oh, sorry, I was going to advance the slide as I talked about that. But anyway, that's what I just said. I'm going to go on now to the next one, which is... This comes from Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But I don't know about you, but you maybe when you went to school, or maybe even now in school, you say, oh, we know who's the intelligent people in school. They're always making 100 on their tests. You know, she and he, they are the smart ones. Well... smart in what ways? Maybe they can read a book and remember the answers and do a good job on the test. But according to this theory, there are many, many different ways to be intelligent. He lists 8 different types of intelligences. One is interpersonal, just being able to get along well with people. Have you ever met those really smart people who do not know how to get along with people? Have you ever met anybody like that? And I'm not saying that's bad, okay, maybe. But it's just that God has gifted them in a certain area, but in another area they're not as strong. And vice versa. There's ones here that have more to do with athletics, music, things like that. So this is just showing that there are many different ways of, many different types of talents. And so we should never get ourselves to the place where we feel like we have no talents, because I don't believe that's the case. I believe when God was giving out talents, he gave every created individual a lot of talents. There's one more thing that needs to be said about this issue of whether or not we have talents and how we can use them in God's kingdom. And that has to do with the issue of humility and pride. We all know that God hates pride, and he wants his children to be humble people. And there's a very good verse that I love here in 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who makes you differ from one another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? And this is absolutely right. We need to always keep this in front of us. Every gift and every talent that we have been given is a gift from God himself. He has given us these things. These are not things that we had anything to do with, okay? When we were born, we didn't get a menu and start saying, well, I'd like this talent, God. I want this one. I want to choose this one. No. These are gifts that God had, and so we cannot boast about them. But sometimes I believe that we get things a little mixed up because we want so much to not be proud, and we know that we need to be humble. And so we can go far enough to almost not want to acknowledge our talent or not want to name our talent or not even want to say that we have talents, because maybe we'll end up either being proud or even worse, looking proud. We're more afraid of looking proud than we are being proud generally. And so while we must always be aware of the danger of pride, we should never let the fear of pride cause us to bury our talents in the ground. I think that's That's a trap that the devil actually sets for us, where he wants us to just say, you know what, I don't want to be proud, or I don't want to look proud, so I'm just not going to worry about that talent. I'm just going to push it down a little bit. Well, how is that any different than the servant who took his talent and buried it in the ground? We want to be sure we don't do that. The master who gave us the talents wants us to invest them and to discover their potential and to use them again for the kingdom, for his kingdom. Well, then how do we identify our talents? There might be some exceptions to this, but I believe that almost without fail, the things that we enjoy doing are the things we're good at. Do any of you enjoy doing things that you're terrible at? Oh, I just love doing this, but I'm the worst one when we do it as a group. That's not generally how it is, right? So the things that we have talents in are the things we're interested in and that we find fulfilling, satisfying, and life-giving. And I think that's the way it should be. Now, obviously, there are some carnal interests that our enemy tempts us with. And we're not talking about those things. But in terms of innocent pleasures, often the things that we enjoy learning about, knowing about, or doing have a close connection to what we're talented in, the talents that God has given us. So in this exercise that we're going to do now, we're going to attempt to identify, first of all, we're identify our interests, and then we're going to identify what talents those interests might reveal. Then we're going to brainstorm together how those talents can be used in the kingdom of God, and lastly, how we can work right now on developing those talents. And I have to say, I'm not sure how our time's going to go. We may or may not be able to finish this exercise, so if we don't, take it with you sometime in a quiet moment, when you're bored, which probably won't happen, but go ahead and pull that out and you can work on it on your own. So I'm going to just go ahead and hopefully everybody has the handout. It looks like this, the chart, and I've kind of drawn something similar on the board here. I'm going to go ahead and read the questions one by one. And as I read them, I'd like for you to just write there where it says answers to questions. Just jot down one or two words. Doesn't have to be a long answer. We don't have time for a lot of that. But jot down something. And we're just going to go through and read all the questions, and you can go ahead and try to answer. Remember, this answer is for you personally and nobody else, because only you have your talents. Number one, if you find yourself getting distracted on the internet and surfing to places you didn't intend to, what kinds of sites do you find yourself visiting? And also, as you're answering these, keep in mind that in a little bit, I'm going to ask for some volunteers to share answers, so you can be thinking about that. Number two, if you had the time to take any class, university level, vocational, how-to tutorial, tuition free, you didn't have to pay for it, and you could study anything that interests you, what subject or subjects would you choose? Number three, you have a choice to babysit young children, or do activities with adolescents, or bless parents of young children, or visit with elderly people. Which of these would you choose? Number four, your pastor tells you there are several opportunities to serve in your church in the coming months, and you have the opportunity to choose one. You can join a team doing door-to-door evangelism, work at a soup kitchen, provide a listening ear for a discouraged person, or study the Bible with and disciple a new believer. Which would you choose? Maybe I wasn't clear enough, but just to be sure that everybody understands, right now we're just doing the first column, answers to questions. We'll talk about the others a little bit later. Number five, when you were a child, what kind of toys or games did you play with most? Or what kinds of activities did you do repeatedly? And the last question, would you rather make something, fix something, or clean something? And what are the things that you like to make, fix, or clean? Everybody have enough time? I know I'm going pretty quickly. I'll give you just a little bit of time to finish those up. Okay, now it's time for a few brave people to volunteer some answers. Who would like to give us an answer for number one about where they tend to go, what kinds of things they tend to read on the internet if they have free time? I'd like to hear some answers, anybody, just quickly. Okay, sorry, a little louder. colleges and music stores? Okay, great, thank you. One more for that one.
I would say like general information, but that would also depend on like news.
News?
But yeah, like information of any sort.
Any kind of information. Well, that's what the internet's for, so you like the internet. But we'll say news. Good. Number two, if you had the time to take any class, tuition free, you can study anything that interests you, what subject would you choose? Somebody want to give us their answer? I'm sorry, did you say nursing? Okay. I can definitely tell I'm aging because my hearing is getting worse. There's a lot of reasons. One more person, nursing.
Space exploration.
Okay, I heard several. That's good. Space something?
Exploration.
Space exploration and what else?
Communication.
Communication, good. Space exploration, communications. Okay, and number three, probably get a lot of different answers here, but what did you say? Would you rather babysit young children, work with adolescents, would work with young parents, or elderly people?
Babysitting.
Everybody put babysitting, or somebody has something different?
Elderly
people, good. This is a one that's really good that there's a variety of talents. When I got married, my wife and I soon realized I prefer young children and young people, and she prefers elderly people, so it's a good balance. Although I think we both learned to enjoy both. Number four, the different opportunities in your church. Would you want to do the evangelism, the soup kitchen, the listening ear, kind of counseling, or Bible study? Bible study. Anybody?
Soup kitchen.
Okay, so we got two different ones there. Number five. Now we get from these multiple choice type to more open-ended questions. What kinds of toys or games did you tend to play with when you were a young child?
Legos.
Who didn't, right? Okay, what else? Dolls. One more?
Instruments.
You mean musical instruments? Yes? Good. Wonderful. And the last question, number six, would you rather make something, fix something, or clean something?
Make something.
And what would you like to make?
Anything that's crafts.
You like to make crafts, great. Somebody else?
Fix something.
What do you like to fix?
Fix computers.
Thank God for you. Okay, thank you all. That's very good. We're going to go now and look at what talents might these interests reveal. And so I'm going to go ahead and, first of all, talk about the questions a little bit. So I told you earlier that there's these way of categorizing talents or gifts according to whether they're gifts of the head, the heart, or the hands. So on question one, is that a question about gifts of the head, the hands, or the heart? Anybody? The question about where you go on the internet, what does that tend to be? Head. It's about getting knowledge and information. Some of these you can argue with a little. What about the one about the university couple classes you like to study? Head, heart, or hands?
Head.
Generally. It could be, depending on what you're studying, okay, it could be something else. But, and what about the one about working with different categories of people?
Heart.
Heart, thank you. The types of ministry to be involved in? What would that be? Head, heart, or hands?
Heart.
All right, I'm just going to... And then the ones with what toys you play with, and the, I'm just going to fill this in for you, hands, the last two rings. So the questions are designed to kind of reveal the different things. And so kind of what we're saying here is that you may have talents that are talents of the head, heart, and hands, all three. You may be a more of a hands-on person, you might be more of a head person, but even within those categories, there's huge variety. And so that's a little bit where we're going now. So we're going to talk a little bit about what talents our interests might reveal. And this is really fascinating to me right now because of having young children myself. My 8-year-old son really likes organization. Recently, he's been in this thing. He'll make a to-do list. The day before, he'll write a to-do list maybe for the next day, like get up, eat breakfast, change my clothes or whatever. And then he has to check things off as he does them. So I'm thinking, what talent is this revealing? Hopefully this is going to be, I mean, a very scheduled, organized person. He likes to be on time too. So I think we're kind of getting an idea of what that is. My 5-year-old son really enjoys tinkering with things. And this can be a real problem right now because toys get broken easily. But at the same time, I think it reveals some mechanical skills. I think he really seems to like to figure out how things work. Toys always have to know. You have to touch them until they break. And so that's something that we're seeing with him, hopefully revealing a mechanical talent. Our daughter, she's 3, and she just recently has been talking a lot about shapes. Like here she sees this is an oval, and she was saying, my head is a circle. And she's seeing like shapes all around her. So maybe this is going to be, I don't know, graphics or, I'm not sure. So they're pretty young, so we don't know yet. But in any case, these interests that we have do have a way of revealing some talents. So what I'd like for us to do now, you can go ahead and keep working on your sheet, but as you're doing that, I'm going to ask you, we're going to take the things that we wrote up here, thank you all for volunteering those, and either the person who volunteered, doesn't have to be the person who volunteered, it can be, or anybody else, as we talk about it, say, okay, what might this interest reveal? What talent might it reveal? And we might not actually even do all of them, but let's talk about some of them are more obvious than others, so some of them are. But like, if you're going online, if you are going online and checking out music stores, what talent might that reveal? That's pretty obvious, right? So musical interest, musical talents, right? What about the news? Is reading the news, does that have any kind of, does that reveal any talent? Okay, so it could be, history teacher. Well, I don't know what news our friend over here is reading about, but what is the news generally about? It's about knowledge, but news is generally...
Things that go bad.
Things that go bad. I'm still hunting for a word. Current events, but the current events are happening to who?
People.
The news is generally about people, right? So people who are interested in the news are often interested in people. Maybe not always, but maybe it involves like wanting to know how people's actions affect others. So maybe, I'm just going to say, people skills, cause and effects, understanding cause and effect. Sorry, you probably can't read what I'm writing here. What about space exploration? Taking a class in space exploration. Is there a way, this is getting ahead a little bit, how can this be used in the kingdom of God? But space exploration, what talent might it reveal?
Colonizing.
Thank you. Well, I would say that it reveals a talent of thinking kind of outside the box, okay? Space exploration is outside of the globe that we live in. So I'm just going to say for that one, thinking outside the box. Because people who are astronauts and stuff, they have to consider possibilities that maybe a lot of us don't. Babysitting or elderly people, I'm just going to say it's kind of working with a specific age group. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on that one. The next one, though, if somebody prefers doing a soup kitchen, like that's the thing that they would like to do, they pick that, what talent does that probably reveal? Compassion, mercy, giving. If they would rather do a Bible study, what does that probably reveal? Teaching. I'm going to say teaching. More of a teacher. What about Legos? If you like to play with Legos, what talent might you have? Sorry?
Building,
construction. I'm going to just say organization. And understanding how things fit together. Don't have room for everything. What about dolls? Mothering, care, okay? A lot of mothers begin mothering by mothering dolls. And making crafts. What kind of talents would that reveal? I'm just going to say creativity. Creativity can be done in a lot of ways. Computers, fixing computers, yes, also. Understanding, organization, understanding. Okay, we have to keep moving here. Aaron, can you tell me how much time I have? Okay, great. Better than I thought. So that's that question. So I'm going to look now at the next one. How can these talents be used in the kingdom of God? I'm jumping ahead. So how can talents be used in the kingdom of God? So I failed to tell you earlier, but in preparation for this talk, I sent out a survey to a few friends. All of them are serving the Lord in various kinds of ministries. Quite a few of them are overseas. And just asked them some questions about how they prepared, things they wish they would have done differently, and I'll talk about that in a little bit more in just a bit. But some of the things they wrote were really interesting and helpful for me in thinking about ways that people can prepare. One of my teammates who completed the survey, one of the person who's working with us right now, said that as a young child, she was really interested in theories about education. Now, that's not what most young children are interested in. But as a young child and teenager, she would read books about this, how the brain works, learning disabilities, things like that. And so she had a three-year-old sister, and she decided, I'm going to try out these theories on her. And she taught her three-year-old sister to read. At three, her sister was able to read because of how she taught her. Well, she was doing that when she was relatively young herself. But now she is in the Middle East teaching English to largely university students, does a very good job. She has a good way of helping students figure out what they need to do to be self-motivated. In other words, that they can't just learn, come to a class and expect that the language is just going to go into their heads, but how they can actually learn on their own. And so I'm very sure that the time she spent years ago reading these books and figuring out how does the brain work and how do people learn and how can I teach my three-year-old sister to learn has been very helpful for her now in the work that she's doing. That's just an example of how she's using her talents in the kingdom of God. Another person who responded to my survey is the founder and director of a large Christian organization. He says when he was 8 to 10 years old, he organized a committee to collect bird eggs. Interesting. Clearly he had organizational skills back then, but he had no idea, I'm sure, how many committees he would be a part of in future years, how many committees he would form with the goal all of blessing others and building the kingdom of God. Even athletic talent. Sometimes maybe we give athletics kind of a bad, that's just, playing sports. But even that could potentially be preparation and could be used in the kingdom of God. Somebody else responded to my survey said, one of the things I loved about sports was working together as a team and encouraging fellow teammates on the way to the goal. And so now he's saying that now he's working on a team in building the kingdom of God. He wants to use that those lessons in teamwork in the same way he did when he was playing sports. So what about us? Let's just go ahead and look back at our look back here. I have this up. How can these be used in the kingdom of God? So I'd like to hear from you. What about musical talents or teaching history or people skills, understanding cause and effect? Let's think of maybe we don't do all of those, but for one of them, what is a practical way that this can be used in building God's kingdom? Music teacher? Okay. The music teacher, but how does that work? What are they doing? Just okay, so the music teacher, you're saying teaching four-part singing, good. So that music teacher can teach students to glorify God by four-part singing. Great. Okay, and we can do more for the others, but we'll keep going. What about thinking out of the box? Somebody who thinks out of the box, how can that be used in the kingdom of God?
There's a lot of countries that missionaries aren't allowed to go into.
Excellent. So thinking of alternative platforms for ministry? Excellent answer.
Solving problems.
Kingdom of God needs lots of problem solvers. Again, we're going to take question three. We're going to say we can think about people who like babysitting. They can obviously take care of, the children for busy parents and all those. We can make application. I think we're going to kind of just leave that one. Number four. So if you like to teach, how can you use teaching to build the kingdom of God? It's pretty obvious, right?
can teach, you can teach, be a school teacher, teaching in the church, new believers, etc. What about compassion and mercy? Is this useful in the kingdom of God? Absolutely. Okay. So maybe this is discipling people, walking beside them. Organization, we've already kind of talked, well, maybe we didn't talk about that one, but organization, yes, we need people to organize committees, boards, sending agencies. We definitely need that. People to organize things in the church. So I'm just going to put administrative skills. And mothering, never underestimate the value of mothering. I would not be here today if my wife was not mothering her children. It's mothering the next generation of kingdom workers, you could say. And I'm not, I don't have room to write all of that here. Creating, creativity and understanding organization. How can creativity be used in the kingdom of God?
Finding ways to meet needs that are...
Very good. So meeting needs and creating things. We need artists. We need writers. We need people who are able to to create content that can be used in the kingdom of God. Okay. Well, our time is quickly running out now, and so I'm just going to go ahead and look at this question. How can I develop these talents right now? And for this one, I'm going to refer again a little bit to the survey that I talked about. One of the questions I asked the people, are there specific things that you did in your childhood, youth, or early adulthood that you credit for preparing you for the work you're currently involved in? And so I'm just going to list here some of the answers that they had. And I think a lot of the people here are young people, but there's also some parents here. And if you are parents of young children, I would also suggest that you really pay attention to this, because so many times in the responses to my survey, it wasn't just so much what they did, but what their parents did for them, the opportunities they provided for them. And so all of the respondents to my survey mentioned reading in one shape or form, maybe something that they read or maybe something their parents read to them. Reading the Bible, reading books about workers in other locations, just reading about work that they're later involved in. It's amazing how reading played a part. Some people mentioned travel. Some of it was traveling to overseas location. One person mentioned going to Washington, D.C., I think once a year, and her father was trying to always teach her about how the government worked and things like that. An emphasis on language learning, exposure to people of other cultures, having friends from other cultures, visiting a local mosque, working with children in clubs. And the ability to give at a young age. One of the respondents said that he remembers he was 6 years old, and he just was struck by the fact that he'd heard that children around the world don't have a lot of toys. So he sat down, and he was just crying. His mom said, "What's wrong?" And he told her. And she went and helped him collect some of his toys to give away. And he said, "I'm so grateful that she did that for me then." Now he's working in a place where he's involved with a medical team, and they're reaching out to a lot of poor people and have a lot of opportunities to share and give. The last one I put here, higher education, was not actually a response to the survey, but I put it on myself. I know there's a lot of question about this. When I was young, I did want to go to college. That was kind of a dream that I had. And at that time, most of my friends were not going. Most of my people in my community were not going to college. So it was kind of a question for my dad, was he going to allow me to go or not? And he always says college with caution. So he said, yes, it's okay. I mean, he was willing to support me as I went. And it's something I have never regretted. It's not something that I think everybody has to do. But it certainly provided me with a lot of, for the work that I've been involved in since then, it definitely provided me with a good foundation, I believe. The second question that I asked is, do you wish you developed specific talents or prepared more for the work you're involved in? If so, what do you wish you had done differently? And here I got a variety of responses. One person says, I wish I'd done more language learning. Another one thing was that they'd wish they'd been more disciplined in studying, memorizing the scripture and hiding God's word in their heart. Wish they had more formal training, more preparation in understanding the places where they're working. Wish they'd worked harder in school and done better. So if you're school students here, pay attention to that one.
We're not going to have time to go ahead and finish the last part on the chart. This is your homework. You can go ahead and take the things that you've written and figure out how can I develop those things right now. This is a personal question for you. We've talked a lot about identifying and developing our talents, but let's never forget that the purpose for doing this is to advance the kingdom of God. And we must remember that someday our master, the one who gave us the talents, those all these talents that we've been talking about today, someday he's going to return. And on that day, he's going to ask us for an accounting. He's going to ask us what we did with the gift of time we've been given, and he's going to ask us what we've done with the talents we've been given. When we report to him, what are we going to say? And most importantly, what will he say? Will we be called good and faithful, or will we be called wicked and lazy? And what we start doing today is going to help determine the answer to that question. God bless you all, and I'll turn the time back over to Aaron.
Thank you for listening. All recordings from Reach 2022 are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. To purchase additional recordings from Reach or other Faith Builders events, visit us online at www.christianlearning.org or call us at 814-789-4769.